This is episode 163 on May 26, 2016.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I am Matt Hoffman.
Greetings, Matt. How are you doing today?
I am doing A-OK, Joe. How are you?
I am doing pretty good. It's gotten warmer over here down in the south. And that means I start sweating more. But other than that, I'm doing okay.
It means you're sticky.
Yes.
Yeah. Things are getting to be that way up here in fabulous Ohio. It's been mid-80s for a little bit of this week.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to be able to have some sunshine and you know, get out of the winter, you know, weather, which means people are out and about doing things, and you know, it makes for nice weather to go out and take some photos.
I guess it's been in the 80s for the last 2 or 3 days, and quite frankly, I'm ready for autumn.
Yeah. I'm ready for 30 degrees. Woohoo. All right. What you been up to, man?
Well, I made good on my promise from last week to get out this past weekend to photograph. And I got to tell you, it was absolutely fantastic. So I went down to southeastern Ohio. There's an area called Hocking Hills that pretty much everyone in Ohio knows that it exists. And but for some reason, not a lot of people in Ohio seem to go there.
Oh.
But in any case, it's like another world. It's like hard to believe it's Ohio. It's just super lush forests and these really awesome gorges that are kind of cut into sandstone, and there's waterfalls everywhere, and it's just an epic place.
Nice. So I love the images that you took, especially of the bridge that had the, was it a whirlpool or a falls below it?
Yeah. Yeah. That, normally I would not like to me, something like man-made like that, like I'd be like, oh man, that stinks. Why is that gotta be there? But since the bridge was made out of stone and it's like, it's just a bridge for like a hiking trail.
Yeah.
It looks really cool. You know, I think it just like adds to the character of the scene. And
it looks like something that would be illustrated in a book for, you know, kids or something like that, or something like out of the Hobbit movies.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I had a great time. I woke up really early Saturday morning and drove down there, cause it's like a little over 2 hours from where I live. And on, Friday night, I was actually doing just a little bit of like research online just to kind of make sure I knew like exactly where I wanted to go and the pictures I wanted to get. I ended up coming across some pictures of a waterfall that I'd never seen before. Mm. And it said that it was down in that area. So I did a little bit of poking around and I found some like really vague directions to it. And I ended up finding it. So I made that my first stop. And that was kind of fun. Took some pictures of a new waterfall I didn't know existed, and then continued on my way to the other area that I intended to shoot. And I got a lot of looks because I was I was wearing waders. So I had like, you know, fishing like chest waders on.
Oh yeah.
And a rain jacket, cuz it wasn't warm. It was probably in the 60s and it was overcast and like raining off and on. And you know, I was taking pictures with both my iPhone and my Sony camera, and you know, it was a challenge to keep things dry.
Yeah,
there was, I bet. You know, if it wasn't raining, there was water dripping off the trees that made it seem like it was raining. And then a little later in the morning, it got to the point where it was literally just impossible to shoot with my Sony camera. It just kept fogging up. Like it was like warming up and things were just getting like really misty and steamy down into the gorge I was in. So it was kind of difficult to keep the Sony lenses from fogging up. But the iPhone, I ended up shooting a ton of pictures with the iPhone.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was good. I used, you know, my stylus lenses, both lenses, and I at first was shooting both slow shutter cam and Vivid HDR, and then probably halfway through my morning, it literally was just all slow shutter cam.
Nice. Yeah, I love the images, especially of the slow shutter cam, where the water looks so like milky smooth, and then you have you know, just the scenery around it, and you know, it makes for a fairy tale look. And so I thought you did a good job.
Thanks. Yeah, it was good. I mean, I got a couple pictures that I had in mind that I wanted to get, I got. And, you know, and then there was some other pictures that I had in mind that for some reason just didn't work out exactly how I envisioned.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I have, you know, a wife and a kid that were kind of waiting for me at home. So I didn't really have, you know, like the whole day to spend. So I was kind of under the gun and I left there, and then, you know, I'm driving home and I started thinking of other shots that I was like, oh, dang, why didn't I think of that earlier? You know, so now I have to go back down there. But
yeah,
I've gotten a good response to the pictures on Instagram and stuff. A few of the ones I've posted to Instagram this week have been like shared on like other Instagram accounts, you know, that do that. Like actually today, one of the Mextures accounts like featured one of my photos, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
So I was pretty down with that. And then I had another feature on another account earlier this week. And I like that because it gets me a lot of, it gets me a lot of new followers.
Yeah.
So yeah, my follower count went up quite a bit this week, and that's always pretty cool.
Yeah. Bill in the chat room said the pick of the devil's bathtub was awesome. And Greg says he was about to, you know, he was about to type that. And then Matt says field trip, because, you know, he's in the area.
yeah, we should totally do that. I should do a tiny shutter meetup or something down there.
That'd be so awesome. Fun. Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you for the compliments, Bill and Greg. I appreciate that. You know, I guess in the grand scheme of things, I don't think I'm proud of the pictures. I like them, and they're what I wanted to do this past weekend, but they're not anything like super extraordinary. You know, they're just kind of like waterfall pictures, but yeah. I think it's really just that location. It's just so different looking and kind of epic looking that, like, you could kind of take like a mediocre composition, it still looks pretty awesome.
Yeah. What would you say you would do next time when you go there?
I would probably, you know what? I think next time I would go like when it's like even warmer outside, maybe mm-hmm. if the water's a little warmer, so that I don't want to wear the waders. They're kind of cumbersome.
Oh, yeah.
But I have some shots where I need to like, I need to do some more exploring of some of the pools in the creek to kind of see how deep they are.
Yeah.
So at that devil's bathtub area in the pool below the, like the devil's bathtub waterfall, there was some pictures I wanted to get where I would have used like either the wide angle stylus lens or, you know, a wider angle lens on my Sony camera.
Yeah.
But the pool looked really deep. And I was like, man, you know, I don't want to fill up my waders or I'm in trouble.
Right.
You know, so.
And you don't want to lose any of your gear. Your life comes first, but then also, you know, you don't want something to happen to your gear either.
Yes, but my plan there is that I test the pool without the gear.
Oh, got it.
And, you know, figure out if I could just walk to where I want to set up and then go back and get the gear. And so, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, kind of throw back to last episode. I did some selfie therapy. I kind of was like, all right. So I grabbed my daughter. I said, all right, I need to get over this selfie, not phobia, the selfie discrimination or something like that that I have. And I took some pictures with my daughter. Of course, she's cute, which helps. And, you know, when you have a a cute little girl in your arms, the selfie's not that bad. So,
yeah, it does help. Anytime you got a cute kid, that improves things tremendously.
So that was pretty much all I did this week. Work's been crazy, so I haven't had time to stop and be able to take some pictures along the way while I'm working. And I'm hoping this next week will kind of slow down with the holiday that's coming up. We have Memorial Day here in the U.S. For those that have died in service for our country. And so it'll be a short work week, hopefully. And so I'm hoping to this weekend be able to take advantage of being home and, take some of the kids out and go get some shots. But yeah, so I'm still working on that that selfie problem that I have, but I really did enjoy our episode last week. I thought it was a very engaging episode, because a lot of times when you listen to a podcast, especially if it has to do with photography, there tends to be a lot of this is the way I think things should be done, and since I'm the host, everybody should agree with me. I really enjoyed our talk, and you know, it's like, yeah, I do see the other view, and yeah, Matt, you are right. So no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's good to be able to, you know, talk things through without, you know, being too dogmatic about things. But I think we did have some responses, and there was a lot of people that said that they loved the two images and kind of a little bit of what we talked about. But so all right, I think we should go ahead and let's see here. I changed up my soundboard a little bit. I gave myself some letters to be able to press in order to bring up the sound. So bear with me. I got to try and figure out what I did. All right, let's do. Where'd it go? Oh, let's do this.
Focus point.
All right, focus points. All right, last week we asked a question: what podcast app do you use? And I thought I would, so I compiled a list of the different apps, and I thought, you know, we just briefly mention which apps they are. And you, as a listener, if you haven't really sold yourself on which app you want to use, here are a list of the different apps that our listeners are using, and you can try them out, check them out, and see which ones you like. The first one was Downcast, which I think you use correctly.
Correct.
Okay. Downcast. What's your favorite feature about Downcast?
It works.
It works. Oh, that's awesome. Overcast was the other one. that was it's funny because you have downcast, overcast. When you said that it was a little bit overcast, I was like going to be like, oh, great transition. Oh, wait, no, too early. Yeah, there are some features on there, you know, smart speed, voice boost. I guess that is a way of normalizing the volumes so it's loud and clear and at the same volume. I run our audio through a program to do that automatically because it is annoying when you hear a host talking and then the other people, the co-hosts, or if you have a guest, doesn't have the same volume. You're kind of like trying to turn it up to listen to them, and you don't have, and then you get blasted in the ear by the person who's recording because their voice is typically a lot louder. So
yeah, I got one or two podcasts I listen to that are that same way.
Oh, really?
And then other ones where, like the host's voice is too like bassy.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, I end up having to go in to, like, my car stereo and change the equalizer to kind of tone it down from bass and
yeah,
boost the treble so that I could kind of hear it better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that voice boost feature, that intrigues me.
Note to self, turn down the bass. All right. No. Yeah, I'm going to check that one out. They have, it says smarter playlists, create show priorities, filters, sorting rules, and all that. I have a list of podcasts that I do daily. And so I categorize those because I get them every day. They're a, you know, they're pretty predictable. And then I have ones that are semi-predictable, meaning actually they are predictable, but they're not daily. And then there's the semi-predictable, which means somewhere time during the week or maybe 2 weeks it'll come out and wait for them. So I don't typically put those in the categories where I'm downloading every day because they're not there every day. And the nice thing about it is it's Overcast is free. All right. After Downcast, Overcast, a lot of people said the native app. There's another one called Pocket Cast. I will have links to all these. And then we had another a submission to the website. Sophia wrote in. And she says, hi, I don't have Facebook, so I answer here. I use Podcaster for all my audio podcasts, so I can download them and have when I have Wi-Fi. Love your podcasts. Regards from a new listener. So, Sophia, thanks for listening. We enjoy having our listeners, especially when they write in and let us know that they are listening. So I think Sophia might be in another country, and so she may not have Wi-Fi as readily as a lot of us. So I will have a list of all these and links to them, and that way you guys can check them out. They'll be in the show notes. And you can try each one of them out for yourselves and see which one you like.
So, cool.
All right.
Yeah, so, I think there's a lot of good podcasting apps out there right now.
Yeah,
And from what I understand, the native app is just fine as well.
I like it. I still use the native app. I'm kind of the person that will be like, I've been using this since the beginning. I'm not going to change. And until somebody forces me to change. And then I go, oh, okay, I like it. And then I'll do it that way. So if you guys have any other apps that you use or you want to mention, be sure to go onto Facebook or go to the show notes, leave a comment, and let us know what you like, and I will add it to the list. All right.
Cool.
Anything else you want to add to that?
No, just listen to the podcast. I don't care what app you use.
That's right. All right, here we go.
News team, assemble!
All right. And sort of piggybacking on what we had mentioned earlier, you won't know it when listening to the show, but if you were listening live, you would have heard that that was a lot quieter than what it actually is. And so maybe that Overcast app will help you. Well, actually, it wouldn't, you won't need it because I'll go ahead and change the levels on it. But yeah, things, I guess this is things that you don't know that happens behind the scenes. So you're getting a little bit about that. All right. We had a couple submissions this week that I thought was important to talk about. Matt didn't think one of these was important, but that's all right. Matt's usually right, but...
No. It's fine.
First thing I wanted to bring up was, let's see here. Nigel O'Connell had posted a link from 9 to 5 Mac, and it's called 10, make sure I get this correct, 10 ways to improve your iPhone photography with the stock camera app. And it's a video. So the author of the article did a video, and he videoed it with his Sony A6300. And he showed how he uses the native app. And one thing on here that I really didn't think of doing, so I thought, hey, that's a good thing I watched this. But the first thing that he talked about was cleaning your camera lens. And that's important because our camera lenses can get all sorts of fingerprints, oil, dirt, dust. And if it gets in between the lens and your subject, you're going to have a blurry image. I think I know a few people who have that problem because all of their images, even though they have nicer iPhones than I have, are blurry. And not motion blurry, but like there's something in between them and the lens, their subject and the lens.
I think that's especially important advice if you use one of the cases or a mount for an accessory lens, like the moment lens mounts or the stylus case or whatever. Those like the little the area around the lens the iPhone camera lens where the accessory lens clips on, that little area all just seems to collect lint from your pocket and all kinds of dirt and dust and stuff. So it is important to clean that out.
I work outside and I work in construction areas, so I get sawdust, dust from the earth, pocket lint, squirrels. Yep, squirrels get in my pocket every once in a while. and just everything in the world is flying in through the air, so I get a whole lot of stuff on my camera lens, and I'm constantly wiping down my screens and lenses before I take images. And the one nice thing about these stylus is they supply you with a nice dust cloth for not only your camera but also for the lenses when you use them, because a lot of times, even though those lenses are in a case or in a little bag, there that dust and lint and everything does get into those lenses, and so they provided the little cleaning cloth. So that is a nice little feature to have. The second thing he mentioned was avoid using digital Zoom. And yeah, we've talked about this a lot. Digital Zoom, to the extreme, is not very pretty. But there is that little bit of wiggle room to have in order to get closer to your image. And it is by using your digital zoom, not all the way, but, you know, just zoom in just a little bit. Or after the fact, you can crop to zoom in, and you can see by taking the image how much you can zoom in without it being too distorted. The other way to zoom in is to move your feet. He says to get closer in. Instead of relying on the digital zoom, move closer to your object. Now, if it happens to be a 300-pound lion, I suggest that you keep your distance. Moving closer would be a bad idea.
I don't know. If you have two phones, at least set one on a tripod and shoot a video of you getting closer.
Oh, I think there was a story of some lady that did jump into the lion's. And the sad thing is that when these people jump in where the lions are, or the tigers, if it happens that they get killed, the animal has to be euthanized. And that's unfortunate, because one person's stupidity ended up, you know, destroying a perfectly good animal because that animal acted on instinct. But don't jump into the animal pits. All right. Anything you wanted to add on that?
About jumping into animal pits? No, not okay. Really. Normally... I think normally I get annoyed with the advice to, like, zoom with your feet. Uh-huh. But that's, I guess, only with, like, digital, you know, like regular digital cameras. It makes a lot of sense with the iPhone, since you don't have an optical zoom, and the digital zoom is really a pile of crap.
Because it's basically limited.
You're just like blowing up pixels. So,
yeah,
you know, it makes it look terrible in a hurry. And I'm guilty of using the digital zoom, because sometimes I feel like I'd rather get the picture and have it maybe look kind of, you know, blurry or pixelated than not get the picture at all. But in the grand scheme of things, it's really better to try to get in close if you can.
Yeah.
You know, if you need to do that to get the picture that you want. But generally, I don't like that advice.
Yeah.
Bill, the reason is that zooming with this is kind of getting into regular photography now, but zooming with like a zoom lens.
Yes.
Like, let's say you have a 70 to 200 or something like that on a camera, and zooming with your feet, no matter what you do, it's not going to give you the same perspective.
Oh, no, it's totally going to change the perspective.
Yeah. So while you might get whatever the subject is to be relatively close to the same size, let's say you're zooming into 200 millimeters, or you have a 50 millimeter lens and you walk up closer to the subject, you could get, you know, the subject the same size in the frame, but the picture is going to look totally different.
Yes.
It's the perspective will be different. It's hard to explain. It's easier to show people, but.
Well, let me say this. When you stand at it, in one location, you have a subject and then you have a background. When you move closer, the background in your subject doesn't change. You and the subject change, and that changes the dynamics of the image. When you zoom in, it's slightly different, because you haven't actually changed that perspective between you and the subject as much. But when you move with your feet, the background acts a lot differently than it would be if you were standing in the same spot. Does that make sense?
I think so. It's late at night, so I'm going to say yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah. yeah, definitely. I agree with you on the difference between a digital and a analog Zoom. Bill had posted in the chat, going back to kind of zooming a little bit, says Robert Kappa said, if your photos aren't interesting, you're not close enough. And depends on what the subject is.
Well, he was a crazy war photographer.
Yes, he was.
And his photos were interesting, that's for sure.
Yes, yes, they were.
Yeah, well, they still are.
Yeah, they haven't changed. Yeah. All right, moving on. Manually adjust exposure. And I think that's a given. I did skip one, but manually adjusting exposure. I don't know. I think a majority of our listeners do realize that they can hold and be able to kind of set the exposure, but then adjust it up and down. I think that is something that our listeners know about. The one thing I didn't know about was the zoom and lock focus, meaning zooming in on your subject, pressing to do the auto lock, and then zooming back out. I never thought of doing that. I'm going to have to try that out and see if it really works, because it, to me, it was a little intriguing because I'd never done that before. Have you done that before?
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah. I'm not going to do it right now because then we'd have a lot of dead air.
Yeah, it totally works. It's pretty cool.
Really? Okay, yeah. Cool. So that was a nice nugget of information that I can put in my arsenal of tricks. And so I thought that was worth it. Manually adjusting exposure, use the auto exposure autofocus lock. We talked about that. And then the last two he mentioned was about removing shake from your images, meaning he said to use the up arrow, down arrow, or the volume up volume, down volume, whichever one it is, to be able to capture the images instead of pressing the back of the glass in order to get the image. Because by pressing the back of the glass, you're moving your camera forward and backwards, causing some shake. Now, the same thing can be said about using the volume button. And it just depends on how steady your hands are. You can be you can have the most steady hands that there are and not have a problem. But then there's a lot of people that have no control over whether their hands are steady or not. And that led into using other pieces of gear to be able to trip the shutter, meaning you can use a Joby grip on a tripod and take your earbuds and use the volume button to trip the shutter, where the only thing that's shaking is the earbuds, not the camera. I have a Bluetooth shutter button that I can use in order to capture an image without touching my my camera. So there are things that you can get that can help, because a lot of times, not so much our listeners, but there's a lot of people out there that would say, oh, you know, the iPhone or whichever brand that they want to use will say, oh, these take terrible pictures because, do you see these? These are all blurry. These are terrible. You can't do anything. They lied to me, whatever. And when it came down to, okay, really, were you using it to the best of your ability? Were you, you know, shaking it all the time? And it could be that a friend of mine has those blurry images because of, you know, not being able to keep the camera still. So there's a lot of things that you can do. And this is a good reminder to say, you know, take a look at what you can do in order to get the best images without saying, oh, I need to go buy this app in order to do it, and see what you can do. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Another thing that they don't really mention here, but you could also, if you use a, you can use like a self timer.
Yeah.
Also, so if, you know, I use it a lot with most of the camera apps that I use, like when I have my phone on a tripod, I don't want the picture to be taken right away when I tap the screen, because I've just tapped the screen. And even though the phone's on a tripod, I may have still introduced some shake at that exact moment. So if I have a timer of a 1 or 2 or 3 seconds, it gives that amount of time for that shake to dissipate and go away, and then it takes the picture.
Yes.
So like all the pictures I did this past weekend with the waterfalls with slow shutter cam, I had it set to a 1 second timer. So I tap the button and then 1 second passes and then it takes the picture.
Yes. Perfect. Yeah, there are things, and I've used the timer and the Bluetooth shutter at the same time. And that was so that I could get a picture of me without me kind of running and, you know, messing up my composition. So sometimes you have to set up your camera, you get it composed the way you want it, and then, you know, have it in timer mode for how many seconds it's going to take you to get to where what you're doing, and then you can use that shutter release to be able to trigger the counter and then go, you know, or get in place, trigger the counter, and then, you know, pose or do whatever you have to do, and then just wait until your phone's done. And the nice thing is, I believe the iPhone will flash the light on the back of the back of the phone, and then when it's ready, it'll leave it on for a second and then turn off, and that lets you know that the shutter has been released, and then you can go back and take a look and see what you got.
Yep, that is correct. I just tried it.
Nice. I forgot there was two more things in the article. He said to use the burst mode and to utilize the HDR. Burst mode is good. He was mentioning it for like the spray and pray type method. But you can also use it for different things. I think one of our weekly photo challenges that we did was motion. I think burst mode would be good for motion, especially if you're like taking a picture of a car or something that's moving by you pretty quickly.
Or kids.
Kids, yes, absolutely. And then HDR, which we have no problem using HDR in our group. That is a tool in our arsenal. So I will post this link. Go ahead.
I actually stopped using the HDR like built into the native camera. I used to use it all the time, but I actually feel like you get sharper pictures if you don't use it.
Hmm. Interesting.
And the difference between just like a regular picture and Apple's HDR is not enough to make it worth it to sacrifice the sharpness, in my opinion.
Okay. Mike in the chat just posted that there's an app called Clapmera. It's like camera, but clap instead is Clapmera. And it's an app that uses the trigger of your clap, so you can. And I would imagine that it has a few seconds delay, but you can use it to be able to trigger your shutter. I'm gonna have to put that one. I'm writing that one down. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
No, I suppose that's a decent list of things you can do to improve your pictures.
Yeah. All right. I think it is time to move into post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
And it is my turn. Now, Matt had told me off air that we should probably not do a free for all next time. Explain to people a little bit of your thoughts on that.
Well, I guess I was just referring to the fact that I thought it was going to be hard for you to pick because you have such a wide variety of pictures, so without having like a set
guidelines.
Yeah, like how do you pick? I mean, you're really just, I mean, we're picking like our favorite picture, but at least you know, there's some kind of criteria or whatever. This time around there really wasn't, so I just thought that made it harder.
Yeah, it did. It did kind of discombobulate the flow of, you know, of how we usually do things. Having a set of guidelines kind of focuses everybody down on a certain goal. Having everybody kind of do whatever they want is okay, but it is hard to kind of have something, I guess, stand out of a crowd of its peers. So let's see here. Let me go ahead and pull it up. We had 39 submissions, and I think a bunch of those was by Greg at the very end. Wow. there was a lot of good images in here. I really enjoyed the different varieties of images. But I do have to say that one kind of stood out, and that was by Robert Yockey, and it is of a flower. And I have to say, it looks pretty nice. I love the fact that the colors really jump out at you. And the flower is an odd-looking flower to begin with. I don't even know what kind it is. But it has, you know, purple petals and has a white and yellow center with the green behind it. So a lot of these colors kind of help for it. The green really helps the flower stand out. So I liked it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like it too. It's definitely it looks like a picture like I would do, kind of like this. Uh-huh. The way he edited the picture, like I take a lot of flower pictures, and I like the way he added like the vignette and made it like really dark, so like your focus is totally on the flower itself. The flower's still really bright. Uh-huh. I definitely like it. Plus, you know, with all the random leaves and stuff in the background, I'm sure it was a pretty distracting background, and adding that vignette just lessens the distraction a lot. So
yes, it
really focuses your attention on the true subject of the picture. So I like the way he edited this.
Yeah. So Congratulations, Robert. You are the post pick of the week. And I have to say, it'll be interesting the next time we think about doing a free for all. But all right, if you would like to be featured as post pick of the week, go on to Facebook and Flickr and submit your images there. We will have posts set up for you guys to be able to submit your images. And even if you want to add to some of our previous weekly photo challenges, by all means, go through and look at the ones from the past and add your images to them. We'd love to see those. And, adding an image and, you know, thinking, oh, I wish I could have done that weekly photo challenge. You know, there's no limitations to what you can submit. You know, just, go ahead and do it. I get to see all of them because usually I'm the one posting the post. And so when somebody adds something to it, I'll see it. The nice thing too, is that those posts will automatically be bumped up to the top of the list. So, don't feel like you're not going to have any eyeballs on it. So, all right. Well, now's the time for us to create some criteria. What should our weekly photo challenge be for this week? Any ideas?
My idea is street photography.
Oh, joy. I don't know.
As excited about that as I was about tools.
Yes. You know what? I'm going to say let's do it. And I will do my best to put my heart into this challenge, because that is probably one of the things that at least excites me. And I need to step out of my comfort zone. So,
all right. Okay. So I feel like this is one.
Hold on. Hold on. Bill just said he has a great portfolio of asphalt, and not quite that street photography. Sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, we can leave it open to interpretation. That's fine. It's not what I was thinking, but for anyone who is wondering what in the world is street photography. Street photography is like a type of photography that features subjects in candid situations, like in public places. So if you're like in town or in a city or whatever, it's really just a photo of like just something that's happening, like, pigeons taking flight in front of an old man that's feeding them bread, or the hot dog vendor handing a customer the hot dog, or a little kid jumping in a puddle, just anything interesting that's just like happening out in the street, you know. And black and white kind of seems to be the prevailing style for street photography.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be, but if you were to like Google street photography and look at images for street photography, it's like nearly all black and white pictures. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, a lot of times in street photography, the color isn't important anyway. So we kind of talked about that a couple episodes ago.
And then
this also kind of ties in nicely with what we were mentioning, one of the points in that article, like the 10 ways to improve your photography with a native camera. And Joe, you spent, a chunk of time talking about using like your earbuds for the shutter release. This is like a perfect time to do that, because, to get – like we also said when we were talking about that, you need to get close to your subjects to have an interesting picture. But you don't want to be, especially if you're kind of shy, you don't really want to be like all up in their face, like pointing the camera. And maybe you're also too shy to ask someone permission. Like, you know, it kind of ruins a candid moment. Like if you go, hey, can I take your picture? Just keep doing what you're doing. Like chances are they're going to change. That person's going to change something about what they're doing.
They become self-aware.
Yeah, exactly. So having the earbuds like in your ears and just kind of like pretending like you're not taking pictures, like you're just looking at your phone because you're trying to find like the next song you're going to play or something, that really works. You know, that's a really good way to kind of, in a sneaky manner, get the pictures that you're trying to get when you're doing street photography with the iPhone.
I just had an epiphany.
Are you ready?
Okay. Two things. If you have a monopod, you can set your, you know, it is kind of conspicuous, but you can set it up, but you'd be able to use your earbuds to trigger it also, or your Bluetooth shutter release. The other thing is get a selfie stick. Pretend like you're taking a picture of yourself.
Oh, yeah, that's a kind of a good idea.
Yeah. I might be getting myself a selfie stick.
that is a good idea.
Oh, cool. All right. Challenge accepted.
Well, hey, listen, I know you're not too terribly excited, and to be perfectly honest with you, this is going to take me way outside my comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do you ever see me post this kind of photography, like ever?
No.
You know, I'm doing the polar opposite of this, you know, nature and landscapes and stuff. So this is going to be a challenge for me as well.
And it was a challenge for the Top Gun guys.
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.
Oh, cool. Well, is there anything else that you want to bring up?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, I think it's time for this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Very cool. Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can check me out on Instagram. Where else? Twitter, IM, and Flickr at M. Hoffman Photo.
Yes. You can find the show notes, links to Facebook and Flickr, and any other thing that you may want to look up by going to tinyshutter.com. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. And if you guys have any ideas that you want to mention, anything about, you know, street photography or ideas of what you use for taking images with your iPhones, you know, go to Facebook or go to Flickr. Even like what Sophia did was she went and commented on the episode, and I get those as emails, and when I accept them, they are on that show note as a comment. So, you know, there are many different ways of doing it, or you can go to you can email us by going to tinyshutter@gmail.com. All right, I think we're done.
Very good.
Cool deal. All right. Well, good show, Matt.
You too.
And why don't you say goodnight to everybody?
All right, everybody. Good night.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
It helps if I can remember which buttons they were.